friends from the internet. We are back. One new episode, part 2 of Mononoke Hime episode. If you like part 1, you will love part 2. So here we are. Let's go back to my old me so that she can tell the story of the Japanese folklore and everything that was missing from part 1. Enjoy it, guys! And now, one big thing that I found about this movie is it has a lot of symbolism, especially Buddhist aspects to it. Materializes these old Japanese values in this movie, and we can see that he's really inspired by Buddhist knowledge. One part, we talk about their karma, like how the karma is represented. For example, at the beginning, when Ashitaka is about to leave because of his curse, and the elder person says that they are cursed. This is how we have endured and we're like less than we were before. It's because of their karma. So because they were cowards in another era and they didn't want to take part on a war, they got this bad karma. They are losing their prince. Another good example are the lepers' work. The lepers work for Lady Eboshi on doing weapons to kill gods and enemy. Because they're doing these weapons, they endure so much pain. Their sickness is part of their bad karma because they're doing this work of creating arms of destruction. We also see another knowledge on it is the enlightenment part, in the path to the enlightenment. When Ashitaka starts his journey to live with this curse or try to heal it, he's set on the path to find enlightenment and resolve his obstacles along the way. And another clear Buddhist knowledge is that nothing exists by itself. So we see Ashitaka that is always asking, can humans and nature coexist? Miyazaki gives a clear answer towards the end of the film when he kind of explains with the movie that we have to live in harmony with the world around us, that we are all intertwined. We live together. We are all on the same boat. One thing that goes wrong affects the other one. So if we do harm the nature will not reassess. And then when it doesn't go back to what nature is, we are now impacted. So we are all intertwined. That's the concept of nothing exists by itself. We are all codependent. Now we're going to talk about some vocabulary or meaning of Japanese folklore that has in the movie. First, the Emishi was a tribe from northern Japan that resisted various Japanese emperors, and it was really like an old tribe. And if you read more about it, it's really difficult to get some information, detailed information about them. There were not a lot of writers that described this tribe. There has a lot of theories that they were kind of like merged into other originated Japanese tribes. So look up into it if you want to know more. Then we have the great Shishigami. Shishigami means dear god. It literally means dear lesser god. So it's not like a kami, that kami means god. In this part, it's a less rank god. This character was inspired by Japanese mythology. The actual Japanese mythology character is Jatsu Kamitsu Mitsuno. I'm gonna say it again. Jatsu Kamitsu Mitsuno, who is worshipped on Nagahama Shiga. The description is that it was a deer with a tree in his head, and its origin comes from Buddhist scripture, the Kasuga Deer Mandala. They said that this god had the power to form planets, and he's believed to morph into his humanoid nightwalker form, Daidarabochi, after that, like in the film. In Mononoke Hime, he's only able to take life and give it back in this planet. But in Japanese mythology, he was way more powerful and had the power to create a whole planet. Another great one is the Daidarabochi.
So the Daidarabochi on the Princess Mononoke is the Night Walker. But in Japanese mythology, it was a gigantic yokai, sometimes said to pose as a mountain range when sleeping. They said that the size of this god was so great that his footprints were creating innumerable lakes and ponds. One of the legends of the Daidarabochi is that he weighed Mount Fuji and Mount Tsukuba to see which was heavier, but he accidentally split Tsukuba peak after he was finished with it. So that's one of the legends. But if you look into Daidarabochi, the how it's portrayed is really more humanoid than what we see on Mononoke Hime's movie. Then the most important one is Mononoke. Mononoke refers to three different kinds of spirit, a vengeful spirit. So they have different kind of spirits in the Japanese culture. That is Onryo, that's a vengeful spirit, the dead spirit, that's Chiryo, and live spirits, that is Ikiryo. So Mononoke is not a name, it's a world for supernatural, shape-shifting, and beings that possess people and cause suffering, disease, or death. So Mononoke itself means vengeful spirit. From what I have seen on the documentation, they put the Mononoke meaning more into the Onryo. That Onryo is literally the vengeful spirit. Sometimes they are also called wrathful spirits, hatred spirits, or resentful spirits. They are a type of ghost, so yurei, and they are believed to be capable of causing harm in the world of the living, injuring or killing enemies, or even causing natural disasters to exact vengeance. To redress the wrongs it received while alive, then they were also said that Onryo were depicted as wronged women who are traumatized by what happened during life and exact the revenge in death. Actually, the meaning definition, the Onryo, I will say, is more close to what Mononoke means in this movie. Because it's a vengeful spirit, it's a woman that had wrongs on her life and it's exacting revenge. Then we have the word Tatarigami. Tatarigami are cataclysmic demons from Japanese mythology. These creatures were immensely destructive forces of nature with malevolent intent. It could be fallen gods of hatred and strength. They were considered to bring also massive conflicts, calamities, such as famine, plague, war, death, fire, and any other unimaginable evil upon the lands. So I will say this meaning, this definition goes really well with the Tatarigami that we see at the beginning, or the gods that fall into demons that we have seen in the movie. They bring disaster, war, fire, and plague, like the curse that Ashitaka had. So this meaning goes really well with what we see on the movie. And lastly, the most cute one on the movie, the Kodama. So the Kodama are the mountain and tree spirits of Japanese folklore. They were considered sometimes gods and they were worshipped. So they had like tiny shrines built in the bottom of the trees. You can see them on some pictures if you search for it. They were described to be kind and like not hurtful when the people were in a danger for them, where they felt protected and the trees were protected. They were kind. So as long as you don't hurt the trees, they will be this way. If they feel that the forest was hurt or it was getting hurt by some way, they will kind of attack and get the worst curses. It is said that it's a very old belief, and Kodama is a very old word. It was spoken long before Japan had written language, and what exactly a Kodama is has changed over the centuries, from nature gods to goblin spirits. In ancient times, they were said to be kami, so gods, and these deities were living in the tree. But some other people were thinking that Kodama were not linked to a single tree, but on a forest, so they couldn't move around the forest and travel freely from tree to tree. and other people believe that the Kodamas were rooted to one single tree, and that tree was supposed to be a Kodama. Even if it looked like a normal tree, the Kodama was the tree itself. So it is said that if a woodsman who does not know when he's cutting a regular tree or not, it will draw blood if it's chopped into a Kodama. And that Kodama's curse is horrible. And it was one of the most powerful ones from what I've been seeing on the myths. It is also said that Kodama is a sound. So the echoes that reverberated through mountains and valleys. The sound of a tree crashing in the woods was also said to be like a plaintive cry of the deity, and they were properly worshipped and honored so that they would protect houses and villages. That is all for all the Japanese folklore meanings. I hope you like it. It was really interesting to find this methodology, and it's like so different from what we will know in Occident or the Western world. So it's really cool if you look more into it. Well, guys, I hope you liked this episode of the Mononoke Hime. Hopefully, I inspire you to look at Studio Ghibli movies if you haven't seen any movie, or inspire you to watch the movies in their native language. It really is a big difference when you listen to a movie on their native language. Completely different. Everything gets right and you understand everything that the director was supposed to do in this movie. I encourage you to do that. If you want, if you're living in Canada, you can go and see the Studio Ghibli's on Netflix. Not difficult, it's just on Netflix. You can just press play. But maybe look in more into it in your country. Depends, Netflix on other countries can have other things. So look into it. If not, I will suggest you to look up to this movie and get it a good watch. Right, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode, and we will talk next week about something completely different than movies and everything. I will talk something really different. So if you were really into it, please put your little bell or something, an alarm. Every week we have a new episode, so don't miss it out. If you want to follow us, we have an Instagram page. It's Aleli de Colores Podcast. If you don't get what I'm saying, just go right down in your podcast section and it will say website, and my website is not a website, it's an Instagram page. So follow us there. Let us know what you think of the episode. If you have any requests, we get requests. It's all good. So that we can interact together, guys. Just follow us. We'll be there. And see you next week. Bye, friends.